Good morning and welcome to Trinity Methodist Church. We are blessed and thankful that you have chosen to worship Jesus, our Lord and Savior, with us here this morning. If you would, please bow your heads and your hearts. Let's open up this time of praise and worship with the word of prayer. Let us pray. Gracious God and precious Lord, we thank you, Jesus, for today. We thank you for your mercy. We thank you for the sunshine. Heavenly Christ, we thank you for so many blessings that we know that they come from above, from you. And so we turn to you this morning. We commit this time of praise and worship into your care. We ask, O Lord, that you would be glorified through it, that you would be exalted in it, that you would change us forever because of it. And Lord, may we expand your kingdom through all that we say and all that we do. We commit this time into your care. In the blessed name of the risen Christ, we do pray. And all God's people said, amen.
Good to be in the house of the Lord today. Amen. As we stand and get ready to praise our Lord, let's turn to our neighbor and say, I am so glad you're here today.
I know a place where we can go to lay the troubles down in your soul. I know a place where mercy flows. Take the stains, make you whiter than snow.
Bow our heads. Heavenly Father, it's so good to be in your house today, Lord. For all that you've got seen us through this week, Lord, we thank you for that. Lord, allow us to remember to humble ourselves, not to carry anything with us, Father. Don't let us carry anything with us. Repent, Father, and just put you first in all things. After all, you have set us free. You set us free from every burden. We don't have to carry anything with us, Lord, and we thank you for that. In Jesus' wonderful name we pray. Amen.
Yeah.
Lord another hand clap of praise for what he's done for us. As we bow our heads, Heavenly Father, we do thank you for what you have done for us. We thank you for the wonderful legacy and then what you've showed us and taught us how to live a life, Lord. Allow us to grasp that and hold on to it, Lord, because we do thank you for allowing us to have a great example to follow and to give everything to you. We don't have to carry anything with us ever. We just need to repent and turn it over to you. Because you live, Lord, it gave us a chance to live. We thank you for that. In Jesus' wonderful name we pray. Amen.
God sent his son.
I'll find my smile.
Let's give the Lord a hand clap of praise for what he's done for us. As we bow our heads, Heavenly Father, I thank you for those wonderful words in that song. Because of the fact you did live, and that empty grave was there to prove that you lived, Lord, and we thank you for that. We can face tomorrow, because all fear really is gone. We just need to learn to give it to you. We need to learn to turn it over to you. We need to learn to believe and have that faith, Lord. We thank you for what you're doing and what you're doing in this church and what you will do, Lord. Please bless the church, the pastor, and all that are here and those that could not be here. Please be with them and bring the lost to find you. Lord, we thank you for all that. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
You may be seated. Tomorrow starts Vacation Bible School, and currently we have 129 youth pre-registered so far. Praise God. That's a wonderful thing. Are you guys? Okay. All right. So here's the thing. With Vacation Bible School, we've got a couple different things going on. And basically, inside your bulletin, you see a bulletin insert. And friends, you know, where God's at work, the enemy is never far behind. And I'll just tell you that once again. When God is at work, the enemy is never far behind. So we have some things happening. We have some illnesses going on, different things of that nature. And so we would request that you pray. You stand with us in prayer. You may not be able to be here. You might not be a volunteer. You might not have any active role in Vacation Bible School, but you can be active in prayer. You see, heaven and earth will pass away, but those who pray, the gates of hell shall not prevail over. And so when we stand united in prayer, that's how this next week is going to be expanding God's kingdom. It's going to be a wonderful blessing to these young people that are going to come here. They're going to learn about Christ. They're going to learn about eternal truths, and for the rest of their life, they will be having the Word of God deep in their soul. And so I implore you all to pray, to pray, to pray, to pray, to pray, to pray. Please pray, because without your prayers, we will not be able to do what God's asking us to do. I'll say that again. Without your prayers, we don't have the strength. We as people don't have the ability. We as people don't have it in and of ourselves to do with what God is putting before us. Just to put it in perspective here, 129 youth. Typically we'll get 20 to 40, you know, kids on the first day that will walk in. You do the math. You do the numbers. You're talking about pushing 200 youth. That's an awesome, awesome thing. But with gifts come responsibilities. And the responsibility for all of us as the congregation of Trinity United Methodist Church is this, is to stand together, united as one, united as Jesus prayed in John 17. I pray that you may be one as I am one with you, O Lord, is what he prayed. We must be united as one in prayer. Please, don't overlook this. The story is told of a missionary who he was out on a mission field in a different country. This is a true story. And things started going well, and then all of a sudden, after about 3 or 4 years, he noticed that things started just to fall apart. And so unannounced, he came back home on furlough, and that's the year that they're here, and you know, he's here, and he goes back to his home church. And he slips in the back, and nobody recognized him because his clothes were all tattered and torn, and nobody recognized him. He slips into the prayer meeting. And he hears their prayers. Lord, help me get this car. Jesus, help this happen. Help this happen. And it was all focused on themselves. At the end of the prayer meeting, he stood up and he said, now I understand. Now I understand what was going on the mission field. It wasn't so much about him as it was about those that had sent him. They stopped standing with him in prayer. I can't emphasize that enough, friends. I cannot emphasize it enough. I mean, Jesus, he said, my Father's house will be a house of prayer. The enemy is fast at work here. The enemy is clawing. He is prowling around like a roaring lion. I've seen it over the last week. I see it with key people and things taking place. And this is not to be spooky or fearful or anything. It's reality. If we don't unite in prayer, we will miss the opportunity. We will miss what God is bringing to our doorstep. As the surfers in California, they go out and they learn to see a wave, and then they ride that wave. They don't create the wave. They just learn to spot it. So too, the people of God need to learn to spot the wave that God brings to them. And friends, this is a wave that God is bringing to us, and we must unite, and we must, you know, unite with God and get united in prayer. I could go on for the next 40 minutes. It's that important. It's that essential. It's that vital. The reality is when evil reigns, good people do nothing. And that's why evil reigns. May we do something. May we do something, and may that something be pray. Pray and pray. And so in your bulletin, you'll notice just a prayer guide. Please take this home, put it on your fridge. Wherever you see it, put it on your bathroom mirror. I don't care. Put it somewhere where every day you're going to see it, and it's going to be a subtle reminder, hey, I need to pray. It doesn't have to be 20 or 30 minutes. It can be a 30-second prayer. Jesus, be with those kids. Soften their heart. Oh, Christ, may you strengthen those workers. May you just forego all of the evil and hold it back. It can be something simple like that. I'm going to ask Anita to come forward. And she has an announcement, a request about the Friday program for Vacation Bible School. And so you will begin to hear about the numbers of what we're talking here.
This is my usual plea for our Friday dinner. I think you're all aware of it. I almost feel like this is Noah's Ark and God's about ready to open the doors and bring forth a multitude, because I don't think we've had this many children ever.
Never
to come. So we're just going to have a bunch of people we have to take care of this week. We have approximately 130 signed up. We do have to account for people that walk in, because we always have a bunch of kids that walk in. So, and we have 50 helpers approximately, so that brings our total every day to about 200. And then Susie, secretary, tells us that there are 75 families where these kids come from, approximately. So we have to figure on Friday at least one person from each of those families, because they come to pick up their kids. So that brings our base number on Friday to about 275. And a lot of times grandmas come, and some people do go home, but we have to plan for more than we ever have before. So my plea is for help on Friday. We will do it the same as always. We allow for the, there's always a lot that goes in the fellowship hall as kids check in and things. And so we will try to set up tables starting about 9:30. And then if those people can help in the kitchen who want to help serve, we have the Jell-O again, which we always put whipped cream on, and we can't do that too early. And it's going to be, 95 this week or 100? Mm-hmm. So if we put that on too early, it's going to look like milk. So we can't do that too early. And then we put the hot dogs out at the last minute, too. So we're asking for anybody that can help. Please come and help us. I need an approximate number. I just need to know that I'm covered. And if you can help, and if you don't feel that you can wait tables or do any of that stuff, we always have, we make up the hot dogs ahead, put them in a pan, and put them in the oven just to keep them warm. So if you, and the Jell-O too, we can pull up a stool at the counter out there. If you don't feel you can run, but you can sit and make sandwiches or Jell-O or whatever you'd like to do, that's, we appreciate that. Mm-hmm. We do need that too, so. I'll pass the sheets around, and thank you as always. We always get it done.
Got to pass the sheets around for you.
Okay.
Okay, the sheets are for sign up for Friday help, and as Anita said, wonderful. That's wonderful. Thank you, Anita. And so if you do the math, over this next 5 days, we're looking at the upwards of more than 1,000 people coming through these doors. Amen. Amen, right? Amen. 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 That's why we're here. Amen. I mean, we are called to be the light of the world and the salt of the earth, correct? If not us, then who? But with the volume, it means that we must stop sitting on our hands and we must be actively engaged in what God is bringing to us and putting forth for us to ride this wave that God is bringing to us. All hands on deck. We need that. We need you. We need every single one of you to pray at the very least, to pray, to pray, to pray. If you have an hour for lunch and you can stop in, stop in. It would be wonderful to have you here. We'd love to have you be a part of the joy. Lastly, a couple other announcements. The Women's Bible Study, they will not be meeting for the next 2 weeks. They will resume again on June the 28th, so please make note of that. And then lastly, this week, I'm going to ask Joe and Jill to come forward here. Benefits of being is other. And this week, Joe and Jill, they will be taking little Claire up to have heart surgery on Wednesday. They'll be going tomorrow, and so they will be up in Ann Arbor. And as I've requested and made a plea for you to stand with this church, with all of us for Vacation Bible School, again, I'm going to ask you to stand with Joe and Jill and little Claire through this difficult time. I mean, precious, precious, precious. And so I would like to offer a prayer over them. And so if you are feeling comfortable and you want to extend your hand right where you're at, may you bow your heads and your hearts and may you just pray with us as we pray over Joe and Jill and Claire. God, we thank you, Lord, for your mercy. We thank you for your love. Jesus, we thank you for this young life. And Father, we pray that your blessing would rest upon her. We pray, O Lord, that you would strengthen her physical body. And just give them the wisdom and the knowledge and the understanding to know what to do. May you just rest powerfully upon her. And for Joe and Jill, we just pray that you would give them a sense of peace that comes from only you, that you would just strengthen them. Just give them that assurance that only comes from you. Father, as unsettling as it is, may they know that you are in control. And so, Lord Jesus, we stand with them now. We speak to you on their behalf. And we say, surround them with your love, fill them with your peace, and anoint them with your goodness and faithfulness. And may you just bless Claire and see her through this surgery this week. We love you, O Christ, and we praise you and honor you. In the holy name of the risen Savior, Jesus, our Lord and Savior, we do pray. Amen. Amen. All right. How are you? Okay. You guys. All right. May we turn our attention to the reading.
Our reading today is out of Acts chapter 13. That is on page 1714. Verses 13 through 23. From Paphos, Paul and his companions sailed to Perga and Pamphylia, where John left them to return to Jerusalem. From Perga, they went on to Pisidian Antioch. On the Sabbath, they entered the synagogue and sat down. After the reading from the law and the prophets, the synagogue rulers sent word to them, saying, "Brothers, if you have a message of encouragement for the people, please speak." Standing up, Paul motioned with his hand and said, "Men of Israel, and you Gentiles who worship God, listen to me. The God of the people of Israel chose our fathers. He made the people prosper during their stay in Egypt. With mighty power, he led them out of that country. He endured their conduct for about 40 years in the desert. He overthrew seven nations in Canaan and gave their land to his people as their inheritance. All this took about 450 years. After this, God gave them judges until the time of Samuel, the prophet. Then the people asked for a king, and he gave them Saul, son of Kish, of the tribe of Benjamin, who ruled 40 years. After removing Saul, he made David their king. He testified concerning him, 'I have found David, son of Jesse, a man after my own heart. He will do everything I want him to do.' From this man's descendants, God has brought to Israel the Savior Jesus, as he promised. This is our reading today from the Word of God. Children's Church is now dismissed, and may our ushers now come forward for offering.
Be still, my soul. The Lord is on thy side. Bear patiently the cross of grief or pain.
Graciously grant unto us each and every day. As part of those blessings, Father, we've placed on your altar this morning our gifts, our tithes, and our offerings, asking your blessing upon them. Bless them and multiply them into your service. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. You may be seated. This morning we are finishing our series titled Fork in the Road, and it's a series based upon King David. We've been dealing with the giants of life, and this morning I want to deal with the giant of legacy. Now, what a legacy is it's something that is left for those who come after. A legacy is something that is passed down to those who are living after. Whether we like it or not, all of us will leave a legacy to those who are surviving us, and all of us will leave, whether good or bad, a legacy. Sometimes in our world we think of legacy or we hear it in the context of monetary donations, but that's not entirely the entire realm of what a legacy is. You see, God gives us all the opportunity to leave a legacy. A legacy in the hearts, the souls, the minds of those that we impact, that those the people that come across our path. this next week, Trinity United Methodist Church, we have the opportunity to leave a legacy with many youth. A legacy of the gospel, a legacy of the good news, a legacy of the truth, a legacy of the hope, a legacy of the love. You see, if you're doubting what I'm saying here, I challenge you all to turn to page 1715, and this is right out of the text that Greg just read. And look at verse 36. This is the Apostle Paul speaking of King David, and he says this on page 1715, the book of Acts. He says, "For when David had served God's purpose in his own generation, he fell asleep. He was buried with his fathers, and his body decayed." This is what I want you to do. I want you to take David's name out of there and put your own name. "For when your name had served God's purpose in his or her own generation, he or she fell asleep. He or she was buried, and he or she's body decayed." You see, whether or not we like it or not, God has a purpose for all of us. Everybody that he creates, everybody that is born, this little child right here has a purpose for God. Everybody that God brings to breathe life and air on this earth has a purpose. And friends, that is God's legacy, that he wants you and me to leave those who come after us. Inside your bulletin, you'll notice some notes, and you will notice that to leave God's legacy, and then you have three different things, and then which brings, and then you have four different things. There's a lot of messages, a lot of sermons that are dealing with those last four things: faithfulness, devotion, trust, and being loving. You see, the interesting thing is, unless we deal with the first three, we'll never experience the last four. You can't experience the last four unless you are humble, unless you are repentant, unless you are obedient. And those are the hard truths that none of us like to hear. And yet we look at David over the last several weeks, and we see David, who he was a fiery man. He was an angry man at times. He was an adulterous man. He was a murderer, for goodness sake. And yet his epitaph that God wrote for him was, "This man was a man after my own heart." You see, when we desire God's will, all of us will leave God's legacy for our life. I'll say that again. When you and when I desire God's will for your life, his purpose that he has created and put you here on this earth to live out, when we desire that more than anything else on the face of this earth, that's our issue. We want other things more than what we want God's will in our life. When we desire God's will more than anything else, only then and then only will we leave God's legacy. I want us to turn here this morning to 1 Chronicles. We don't have PowerPoint, and that's completely my fault. This coming week, I start at Faith, and things have already ramped up. And so I must confess that things are time-consuming and things are a bit crunched. And so I apologize. We will get on track. But turn to 1 Chronicles. In your pew Bible, you'll find this on page 665. And we are going to look at 1 Chronicles chapter 28, and that is not 665. That is on page 669. I want to read the first eight verses. This is at David's end of his life. Now, King David had reigned over Israel for 40-some years. Okay, he took the helm of being king when he was age 30, and so he is 70 years old at this time. And he gathers, he summons, in verse 1, David summoned all the officials of Israel to assemble at Jerusalem. He called them all. He called the officers over the tribes, the commanders of the divisions in the service of the king, the commanders of thousands and commanders of hundreds, and the officials in charge of all the property and livestock belonging to the king and his sons. Together with the palace officials, the mighty men, and all the brave warriors, these are all whom he called together to address to them. This was like a final farewell speech that David was giving to all of those in command. King David rose to his feet, a 70-year-old man, and he said, "Listen to me, my brothers and my people. I had it in my heart to build a house as a place of rest for the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord, for the footstool of our God, and I made plans to build it. But God said to me, 'You are not to build a house for my name, because you are a warrior and have shed blood. Yet the Lord, the God of Israel, chose me from my whole family to be king over Israel forever. He chose Judah as leader,'" and this is David speaking now, "'He chose my family, and from my father's sons he was pleased to make me king over all of Israel. Of all my sons, and the Lord has given me many, he has chosen my son Solomon to sit on the throne of the kingdom of the Lord over Israel. He said to me, "Solomon, your son is the one who will build my house and my courts, for I have chosen him to be my son, and I will be his father. I will establish his kingdom forever if he is unswerving in carrying out my commands and laws that is being done at this time. So now I charge you in the sight of all of Israel and in the assembly of the Lord and in the hearing of our God, be careful to follow all the commands of the Lord your God, that you may possess this good land and pass it on as an inheritance to your descendants forever." If you're ever wondering why David was called a man after God's own heart, it's because, number one, he was humble. He was humble. It's not the fact that he lived a life that was, you know, pure and totally righteous. It wasn't that at all. It was because he was humble. Humility is teachability. When we are humble, we submit to another. And if we can't submit to another, we can't submit to God. You see, David, he was a warrior. He started his reign by killing Goliath. And he was a man of bloodshed, a man of war. At one point, he was dwelling in a palace, and he looked out and he saw the Ark of the Covenant, which is the presence of God in that day, and he saw it in the tent. He said, "Far be it from me that I should dwell in a house made of marble and of gold, and yet the presence of God should be in a tent." And he said, "I'm going to build a house for the Lord." But God said something interesting to him. He said, "No, David, I don't want you to build the house. I have another." That's very interesting to me. Because at the very end of his life, you would think that he would be up front in front of all of his servants, touting all of his accomplishments, and yet he speaks of the first thing that God told him no about. Very interesting. It speaks to his heart. I don't know about you, but sometimes when you want what you want, when you want it, it's like, come on. Let's go. I want this. You want what you want. And God says no. That's a hard pill to swallow. I don't care who you are. I don't care what phase of life you're in. It's difficult to swallow, especially if you've experienced some success in the past. It's like, no, I need this right now. I want this right now. And that's where David was at. He even went so far to gather all the building materials. He gathered everything together, and he says, "Look, I'm going to do this thing." And God said, "No, because it's not my will." Friends, that's humility. That's teachability. To be humble is to be submissive to the living God, the Lord God Almighty. It's to place yourself low before him and say, "Not my will, Lord, but yours." And there's another who was humble and meek and mild, and his name was Jesus. The Garden of Gethsemane, if you remember with me, Jesus, he's sweating blood because he knows the cross is coming his way, and he knows what's at stake, the eternal separation from a loving, righteous, holy God. And he's praying, "Lord, let this pass from me. I don't want to lose your presence," is what's going on in his mind. And he says, "But not my will, Lord. Your will be done." You see, it's the same thing with David. The presence of God, the Shekinah glory of God, come down on the ark, and it signified God's holy presence. You can look back in the book of Exodus, and when Moses would go out and meet with the Lord, the cloud would come down on the tent. It was the holy presence of God. You see, we think, okay, it's just a wooden box. It's just an ark. It doesn't mean anything. It means everything. And that's why David wanted to honor the Lord. You see, his intents were pure. His motives were right. But God said no. It's interesting because he's going to turn in a few moments and he's going to address his son, Solomon. And Solomon means peace. It's from the Hebrew word shalom. It's interesting that God said, I don't want you, David, a man of war, a man of bloodshed, to build my house. I want a man of peace to build my house. It's very interesting that in a couple moments, he's going to kind of gather up Solomon and say, look, this is how I want you to build it. This is what I want you to do. I gathered all these materials. It's like a father-son type thing going on. But David was humble. David was lowly. He was willing to submit. It became more about God's will than his own will. It became his desire to experience God's will over anything. The legacy that he left is being a man after God's own heart. You see, when we're failing to be humble, when we refuse to submit, whether it's apologizing, whether it's, you know, submitting to those in authority, whether it's, you know, you put fill in the blank. God has a purpose for you and for me. God has a purpose for Trinity United Methodist Church. God's purpose is that he will leave his legacy, his left legacy, what he wants to impact people with. And when we desire God's will over everything, then and only then are we humble, and then and only then will we leave God's legacy. The second thing that we notice with David out of this chapter is that he was repentant. Look with me at verses 9 through 12. He turns his attention and he says, and you, my son Solomon, acknowledge the God of your father. He tells Solomon three different things right here. Now, this is a father grabbing his son. Now, if you remember with me, that Solomon's older brother had passed on. Now, Solomon's mother, her name was Bathsheba, the wife of Uriah. Out of the midst of disobedience, unfaithfulness, God will bring something wonderful out if our hearts are right and if we allow him. He says, and you, my son, three things he tells Solomon, acknowledge or know the God of your father. That's the first thing. Know God. If you're humble, you want to know what the others know. You're teachable. If you're humble, you are willing to sit at the feet of another. If you're humble, you are thirsting after the knowledge of what you are seeking. And if you're seeking to do God's will above everything, you will seek to know God above everything. And then he says, don't stop there. He says, serve him with wholehearted devotion and with a willing mind, for the Lord searches every heart and he understands every motive behind the thoughts. So he says, know God. Serve him. And then thirdly, he says, seek him. If you seek him, he will be found by you. I wonder at this point if David was recollecting his liaison with Bathsheba. Almost as if this point he says, hey, Solomon, don't misstep like I did. Watch out. Know God. Serve him. Seek him with a wholehearted devotion. If you seek God, then your desire is to serve him. You see, if we desire God's will, then and only then will we leave his legacy. And this is interesting to me that this is the word that he leaves to his son, to know God, to serve God, and to seek God. And the last thing that he does is this. In chapter 29, verses 10 through 16, he opens up in a word of prayer. And David praised the Lord in the presence of the whole assembly, saying, praise be to you, O Lord, God of our father Israel, from everlasting to everlasting. Yours, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the majesty and the splendor, for everything in heaven and earth is yours. Yours, O Lord, is the kingdom. Humility, repentance, obedience. You see, God has a will for you and for me. He has a purpose for all of us. And when our desire to live out his will eclipses the desire for anything in this world, then and only then will we leave God's legacy. The biggest tragedy in my life is this. When I talk to people, and they've never understood God's purpose for them. That, my friends, is a tragedy. Because that shows me a person who just is meandering through life, not knowing what God's will is for them. And if you're discerning, if you're seeking, start by seeking to be humble. Be repentant, and live a life of obedience. And if you desire God, you will leave his legacy. Let us pray. Gracious God, we thank you, Lord, for your mercy. We thank you for your love. Heavenly Jesus, we bless you. We thank you for your holy word. We pray, oh God, that you would just give us a desire in our heart, mind, and soul, that you and you alone would be glorified, that we would be about your will, that our epitaph would be a man or a woman after your own heart, that the legacy that we leave would be a legacy of hope, of truth, of love, of forgiveness, of devotion to you. May that be the legacy of Trinity. May that be the legacy of every one of us here. May it be the legacy of you. May our lives reflect your goodness, your mercy, and your love. And may your will be done. As we have so often prayed, let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. May it be done through each one of us, through our thoughts, our actions, and our lives. We love you, O God, and may you receive all the praise, the honor, and the glory. We bless you now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you.
before we close, I'd just like to invite all of you to be a part and to join us here at Trinity in leaving God's legacy to this community. You'll notice with me on the front of your bulletin at the very bottom, you will see the mission statement of Trinity United Methodist Church. And it says, Trinity United Methodist Church exists to bring people into God's family, teaching them about Jesus and empowering them to serve the world through Christ. This week, if you're able to be here, won't you join us for Vacation Bible School and be a part of leaving God's legacy to this community? You can do that by sticking around after worship and helping the decorations be put up for this coming week. You can do that by coming on Friday and being part of serving the meal for the ending program of the week. You can do that by praying and praying and praying. There's multiple ways, friends. But let's not just let the unknown go by. May we be active and leave the legacy of God for the future generations of this community. And may this coming week be an example of us actively, intentionally leaving God's legacy of love. As we depart, in the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, in the name of the Holy Spirit, may you be blessed and granted the peace of all peace. May he honor you and uplift you and keep you and strengthen you. In Jesus' name, may we go in peace. Amen.